Well, when you get a fish at Lake Erie, you know you're going to catch lots of smallmouth, but you also might have a few waves. And with me today is Joe Balog. And Joe, you had a few waves up there at Lake Erie when you just won the BASS Open.
Yeah, I would say the first day we had probably the biggest waves I've ever been in a boat in my life on Lake Erie, and I've fished easily over 100 events on that lake. And we had 6 and 8 footers with occasional 9 and 10s mixed in that first day, so it was a matter of survival. More than anything.
Well, you're running a Z boat. You're running a Z 20, and it's by Ranger, of course. And when you think about looking back over it, you know, most people wouldn't even go out on the water when you have those kind of waves. But you've got a lot of history there and a lot of experience, and were able to run a distance to be able to get to your fish.
Yeah, I ran about 35 miles the first day. Now, kind of misleading because there was a good section of it I was hiding behind the islands and getting out of the wind a little bit. But a whole bunch of it was really bad. I have a lot of confidence in my equipment. You know, when it comes to the factors to success and things, I have to say that probably my boat and my motor, you know, and I run a Mercury High 5 prop, which I really like, a 5-blade for big waves, and a big Minn Kota trolling motor. I mean, those were the things that really outdistanced me from the competition, just having confidence and security in those products and knowing that I can get where I needed to get and be able to stay there and fish effectively. The fishing was good once we got there. You know, those fish are biting in waves like that, but getting there was unbelievable.
Well, you know, you talk about that, and a lot of guys didn't go out. A lot of guys were a little bit concerned about being able to make it back and that kind of stuff, but of course you didn't. You went to your fish. You said, I'm going to get there, and you went there and caught them. But, you know, I guess one distinction you have here is that you've got a bait that you use that you designed, but it's a Goby. It's made by Poor Boy. You designed that, but you also, I think, have the dubious distinction of winning the first major tournament on Gulp, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, that is cool. You know, Gulp has been one of those things all year that it's kind of been an ace in the hole for me. I've had a lot of days when it seems like the fish just won't hit other baits and they'll continue to hit Gulp. I don't know what it is about smallmouth, but they sure like Gulp plastic. But yeah, you know, the original Poor Boy's Goby, which I designed, it was the first Goby bait ever. That's always a key player up here, and we catch a lot of fish on that. Fish love Gobies. And then a couple different little Gulp worms. You know, it was just the right place and the right time, but Gulp definitely made a big difference.
Well, you're drop shotting, and you're talking about all this waves and stuff. Was it a vertical presentation?
Yeah. You know, that's what's surprising is that we don't do the old drifting and dragging technique that got so much publicity in this part of the country years ago. Nowadays, the fish are more pressured, and they're more on defined, isolated structure. So I like to fish real vertically and more or less cast fish to individual structures regardless of the wave conditions. So you're out there with a big trolling motor. You know, again, I use a big Minn Kota that's real powerful. Got that thing on 90-100% just to hold your boat in 5 and 6 and 7 foot waves, and you're basically vertically fishing a drop shot with a 3/8 or a 1/2 ounce weight, a little Goby or a Gulp bait, and just kind of letting the bait sit around and really let the wave action impart most of the action on the bait. It's just a matter of getting a bait on the bottom around those fish that are active on the exact key spot, that key rock, and the fish kind of come to you and eat the bait. The fishing was phenomenal the first day. Fished 3.5 hours, hooked 12, landed 7, you know, and out of the 7, 6 of them were 4 pounds or larger, basically.
No, you know, one of the things, I guess, with the Berkeley Gulp is you talk about scent dispersion. And, you know, when your vertical presentation, it would seem like that would work better, being able to get that scent in the water and be able to have those fish get after it.
Yeah, I imagine it probably would. It's funny because what I've found is the days that, for whatever it is, it could just be my crazy thinking, but the days that they seem to prefer Gulp baits are days when they also will hit other baits, but don't seem to eat them. You know, we'll put a lot of different baits on, and you'll feel thump, 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 or you'll feel the fish hit it and spit it out, and you think, maybe those are gobies tapping at my bait, or maybe they're sheephead or something like that. But, man, you put a Gulp on, and all of a sudden you feel the same thing, and the fish loads up the rod, you set the hook, and you catch a big bass. There's been a number of times this year where it seems like the fish will knock other baits around, and they'll absolutely eat Gulp. And this week, when a fish had my bait, it had my bait. There was no denying that. They were aggressive fish that were hitting a lot of different things, and it became really fun because although it was terrible traveling, once you get out there and it's rough like that, those fish are crazy. They're excited. You know, there's great current being generated. The food's getting washed around. So the fishing was great. But yeah, the Gulp thing definitely makes a difference on a lot of days.
Well, you know, I look back at, you know, that goby has been, you know, it was introduced in the ballast water of ships as they came in. It's kind of a non-indigenous species, but that thing, they love them. They eat those guys pretty good too. So, you talk about bait selection. Of course, everybody knows that goby is a small fish, but what were the baits that you were using that were the gulp product?
The gulp minnow worm, which is just a little 4-inch worm with kind of a ribbon tail. And the gulp sinking minnow, the 4-inch sinking minnow, has always been a real good one here. And I think both of those actually mimic a goby too. You know, you've got some kind of worm type bait on or near the bottom. The fish primarily eat gobies, so I think they mimic that. The other thing was too this week is that we found a lot of yellow perch, you know, big giant yellow perch on the same structures that I was bass fishing. So whenever you see that, yellow perch are really attracted to shiners and to just a real fertile area. So whenever there's perch around, you've got shiners. You've usually got, you know, some other things that perch are feeding on, some small bait fish. You've got gobies always in the area on these structures. So the bass, it was just a smorgasbord for the bass to come in there and have all different things they could eat. So, you know, the little gulp minnow type worms are really, really good, just in green pumpkin and pumpkin seed colors. And again, it's just a matter of getting a bait down there and having them come to it. And once they get locked in on that stuff, it's great fishing.
Well, now, you know, you talk about techniques. Of course, you know, you're drop shotting, but you're using spinning gear. You know, what was the pound test you were using? What are some of the, you know, intangibles?
I use a Daiwa drop shot rod, you know, a little Capricorn reel. So Daiwa's got a real nice little limber drop shot rod that's awesome. I use Vanish Fluorocarbon, which is the Berkeley product, which I love. Vanish kind of got a little bit of a bad rap a few years ago, but they've got a product now, I think, that's superior to any fluorocarbon on the market. It works great. I use it every day. I have no line problems ever. Didn't break a single fish off this event. So 8-pound Vanish. Got about an 18-inch leader between my little hook and my weight. The hook was just a little Gamakatsu 1/8 drop shot hook and just a no-name 3/8 or a half-ounce weight. You know, and it's just a matter of staying with it. A big thing is, like I said, that big trolling motor holding you in one spot and just getting that bait down on the rocks. And I lost a few fish, but I think that was a factor, too, of how rough it was. It's hard to keep up with your slack. It's hard to know where your bait even is. You're getting washed around so much. But for the most part, the fishing was good, so I was able to lose a few and still get by.
Well, you know, I'm a big flipper and pitcher, and I always feel like I'm Roberto Duran, you know, hands of stone. But I can't imagine an 8-foot wave being able to feel those fish. And you know, you've got to have that ability to do that. Now, you've got a lot of reputation for Strand and FLW series, and bass, you fished a few, but it's nice to win one, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned a few times that probably from a publicity standpoint, bass is one of the best things that could happen to me, if we win a bass. I just have this black cloud when it comes to any national event on Lake Erie. I had 6 or 7 events in the last 4 or 5 years that I've either led or been within a pound of the lead and really been close to winning going into the last day and had a number of seconds and fourths and fifths and sevenths, and it just seems like I can never string 2 good days together. Well, we were sitting around, a number of us, a few weeks ago, and I said the ultimate thing for me would be to have such a big lead going into the last day that I couldn't allow myself to lose, and it was almost what happened here. So I had a big cushion, and to win a bass event is great. I've already seen a tremendous amount of publicity from it. So,
well, Joe, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I think it was in February. You and I were sitting at the Plano booth at the Classic talking about Lake Erie and trying to, you know, I said, man, I got to get up there. But you know what? If it's 8 or 12 footers, I'm not sure I want to come.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because I live on St. Clair now, and it's pretty nice because we can always get somewhere on St. Clair and hide from the wind. But there was no hiding that day. We came out of the bay, and it was bad. It was just a monumental day, something I'll never forget. But I was real confident in my equipment, and I just took my time, and it finally paid off.
Well, you drew a good partner, too. Talk about that a little bit. You had a partner that you've had out, you know, fishing before, and when you drew him, you got to feel comfortable because he knew your abilities.
Yeah, right. I drew Mark Harkachek from the Cleveland area, and he and I had gone fishing earlier this year at Kelly's Island when it was real cold and caught some real nice big fish and had a great time. So when I drew him going into that first day, I thought, boy, that's the perfect co-angler to draw, somebody that's experienced on Lake Erie, that won't get scared of big waves, that knows me as a person and knows that we're going to do well because he's got some experience fishing with me and will trust my decisions. That's always a big factor on Lake Erie. And man, he said, hey, whatever you want to do, if you want to go out there and you think it's a safe situation where we're not going to, you know, run into a problem with safety, go for it. So we took our time, plugged our way. You know, we didn't start fishing the first day till almost 10:30. You know, so we had a tremendously long ride going out the first morning. But he stuck with me, and you know, I think that was also another factor in my success is that I didn't have anything to worry about. It was just like fishing with a buddy, and I was going to go fishing and. he caught three nice big ones, and he ended up winning the co-angler side for the event. So we both won a couple of boats, and everything worked out great. I was really happy for him.
Well, two rain suits, a helmet, goggles, everything you can possibly wear. Joe, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Yeah, that's welcome to Lake Erie.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.